After 14 years of being away from beginning band, I am back to teaching middle school beginning band, and I have 42 kids. Some of them are the most difficult that I've seen in my 22 years of teaching. How to get middle school kids to quiet down and focus, back in a moment.
Strike up the band, so you can give your kids a helping hand. From interviews to teaching tips, you'll add this to your bag of tricks. There's no smarter way to spend your time, so keep it right here with James Devine. The Music Ed Podcast, where you get quick and easy tips on how to be a better band teacher.
I'm not quite sure if I'm seeing a trend or if it's just the nature of the school that I'm teaching at. I'm at an inner city school after having taught at a suburban high school. And these are some of the most difficult students I've seen in 22 years and the hardest to get focused and working towards a goal. But some of that may be because of their backgrounds. A lot of them have family members in prison. They're living on welfare and food stamps, and often six or eight siblings crowded into one bedroom. So it's been an interesting situation. And it started off really difficult, but I found some techniques that have worked, but they take persistence on the part of the director. And I'm hoping that some of these tips can help you with your middle schoolers. First of all, it helps to have a supportive admin, and we are very fortunate that our admin is very supportive and very helpful. We have a dean whose sole responsibility is discipline, and she is always focusing on things that work and making those things better. So we have a detention system in place, and at first it was seeming like nothing was helping. I was giving kids detention, and then the next day they'd come in and they would behave the same way. But we have kind of an escalation procedure where it starts as a lunch detention, goes to an after-school detention, and we have a very strict procedure in place. And I found that once it got to about the second after-school detention, it was starting to work. Part of that is what we have in place in our school is a kids' court. If they get to a point where detentions and calls home aren't working, then we have a court comprised of the teens themselves who have applied to be in this class where they look at different cases and they decide a punishment. They don't see the kid's name, but they see what the teacher has done, what the student has done, and these students don't want to tolerate disrespect in their school. So they issue things that are great. It has been a great program. We started it last year at our school. So that has been very helpful to have the supportive admin to kind of help out with that. If you don't have that, I'm not sure what to tell you. Just try some of these other things and hope that they work. Also, maybe have a system of discipline in place that you yourself follow and follow that for a while to see if it's working. Don't give up on it after a week or 2 weeks. This took about 5 or 6 weeks in my class to make it work out. Early on, we had to practice our walk-in procedure because I had 42 kids coming in and just being wild. I had them the next to the last class of the day. It was after their lunch, and they were just being kind of wild. So the first couple of days, we went back out in the hallway, and I said, we're going to practice how to walk into class until you get it right. And of course, at first it was 45 kids who were loud and rambunctious. And then a bunch of them learned quickly, this isn't going to work, it's not going to be fun. So then it was reduced to 20 kids. And then it ended up being 4 or so. And I would make them practice at the end of class. When everybody was lining up to get ready to go to their next class, these 4 would practice. And some of them would come in stomping on the ramp. We have a little wooden ramp to convert our school to ADA compliance. It was built in the 60s. So the ramp is very noisy if you stomp on it. So they'd come in and stomp these last 4 who weren't quite getting the message. And we'd turn right back around and those 4 would do it again. And they would be late to their next class. And can we get a note, Mr. Devine? Nope, no note. This is your fault that you're having to do this. So they would get a tardy for that class. And that ended up, I had to do that, I think, for about 3 or 4 days just with those four or five after the first time, and finally those four or five learned that this is not going to be fun if we have to continue doing this. I have a military background. I spent 10 years in the Army band before I started teaching. So I also found that, for now anyway, I'm running it very military-like, or kind of like a marching band. So we have I was having problems with students getting their instruments up. So we would actually practice that. And I found a quick four-count movement. One, two, three, up. And I clap on each of the beats. Then that seems to get their attention a little bit more. And now we practice that three times at the beginning of class, and it has not been a problem anymore. But it took about 2 weeks of doing that constantly. And every time someone would miss, it wasn't just one person. Every time a group of students would miss the instruments up portion, we would all practice it as a class 3 to 5 times in a row until they got it. Now, this might seem like a lot of time invested up front to you for things that aren't music related, but in the long run, it pays off because the students end up being ready to play and learn later. So you're making a small investment up front to reap the benefits a little bit later on. So that has worked really well. Now we're at a point where once in a while, one or two students forget, and I'll make them stand up and put their horns up, show me proper playing position, or maybe they practice the 1, 2, 3, 4, and then they sit back down, and that seems to fix the problem. So try running it kind of like a marching band or a military band. We also, several times in class, we still do this now, if the students are getting chatty, because I need them to be quiet when I'm working with one clarinet player or someone's taking a test. I make everybody stand. We do our breathing exercises for about 30 seconds, and then we have them sit back down, and that seems to remind them that, hey, Mr. Devine's paying attention to you talking when you're not supposed to. I also like to remind them that the last 3 minutes of class are a gift to me. What do I mean by that? I usually allow them 3 minutes to pack up their instruments and get their books ready to move on to the next class. But I'm not required to give that to them. We could teach up to the end of class. And I actually use this with all of my classes. It seems like about twice a year I'll have to do it in a class. And then they're reminded that, hey, we better focus because this 3 minutes is a gift. And there'll be a couple of protests. What do you mean it's a gift? Well, I can teach up to the last minute of class. I don't have to give you that time to pack up your instruments. So that is very effective with all of my classes. I had to do it, I think, twice with this sixth grade beginning band class, and then they learned from that. One of the things that's helpful, too, is to keep the rehearsal very fast-paced. We start with breathing exercises. We do our three times of horns up to make sure everyone still remembers that. We do some long tones, we'll do a couple of exercises, and then I'll do a couple of tests, and maybe we'll clap a rhythm, but we're moving constantly from one exercise to the next. Occasionally, I'll give them a minute to practice something on their own when we have something new that we're doing, but a minute seems to be about the max that they can handle, and then they start getting unfocused, and I'm circulating and walking around during that minute to make sure that everybody is actually practicing. And something I've found is that I always threaten that if you're not practicing, that must mean you're ready to test on that. And once in a while, I call a kid out on that who is talking during the group practice time, and I give them a test, and that sends the message to everybody else, hey, you better use this time to practice. But keep the rehearsal fast-paced and keep it moving along with different things. Don't make it exactly the same every single time. We also do a lot of call and response of rhythms where the students will clap the rhythms. If I need to get their attention again, then I'll do a call and response, just a one measure or two measure rhythm. That's going to get longer as they get better at playing. Another effective strategy is, I haven't had to use this yet, but I've used this in the past with groups that haven't been focused, is to do a stand all the time for the podium. And what I mean by that is that you have the students stand as soon as you stand on the podium. Everyone stands, and that's their message to be quiet. You get their attention, have them sit back down, and then go on to your next exercise or your next song. I haven't had to use that this school year with any of my groups, but I have it in my bag of tricks just in case I need it. Hey, if this podcast has been helpful to you, I ask that you take a look at patreon.com/themusiceduhpodcast and think about supporting us. Appreciate it and hope that these tips have helped you to get your middle school kids to quiet down and focus.
The Music Ed Podcast, where you get quick and easy tips for how to be a better band teacher.